This message entitled "But First" was delivered to Christ Our Bible Church on May 23rd, 2021 by the Reverend Roy D. Warren Jr. The scripture reference is Acts 2, 1-21.
Dear Lord, as we gather now our hearts before you and before your holy word, we do pray, dear God, that you will speak it deep into the depths of our hearing and our understanding. Dear God, that we will know that you have a purpose and a plan. I pray, dear God, that we would allow for you to live your life through us and reveal or manifest, dear God, what you're attempting to do in this season coming up and beginning even today with the season of Pentecost. I pray, Lord, that you'll have a glorious purpose revealed and manifested in this time, as we know that we do need your Spirit. And I pray, dear God, that you'll be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Has God ever spoken to you or taught you the principle of leaving your rights to him? All right? Like a hitter in a baseball game, for example, who is given the signal to bunt by his coach, we must look to God to see whether we're supposed to sacrifice or are we going to swing away. True story is told of 23-year-old Thomas Edison. He left Boston for New York in 1873. He was a brilliant inventor, made his living as a teletype operator. This is Thomas Edison, a teletype operator. Edison went to the Western Union office to seek employment as an inventor, but he was told there that there was no such job. Instead, he was offered a position of servicing and updating the teletype machines, which could be quite temperamental. He was told by General Marshall Fawcett, "Just go to work, I'll settle up with you when we see what you can do." So they didn't even have a contract or anything signed, sealed, and delivered, how much he's gonna make and all of that kind of stuff. It wasn't really set up. Many months went by. Finally, the general came in and said, "Well, son, how much do you think I owe you?" And Edison was skilled with his hands, but he didn't know a whole lot about finances. Although he had given the matter some thought, he determined that $1,000 would be adequate. Now, this is over several months, would be adequate, but $2,000 would be more fair. He felt $3,000 was more than he deserved, but because he was in desperate need of some money, he asked for $5,000. But before he answered, he remembered the general was noted for his honesty, so at the very last moment, he asked, "General, what do you think my labor has been worth to you?" The general said without hesitating, "How does $40,000 sound to you?" $40,000. Edison kind of turned pale and his lips began to tremble. "Fine, sir. It sounds just fine." He learned that day the general's generosity exceeded his own greed. Those who demand their rights in the Christian life rarely grow. Their walk becomes stagnant and cold, but those who put their rights aside and leave the choices to God grow in grace with giant steps. Started out, was going to ask 1,000, then it got up to what, 3, and then 4, and finally he ends up, when he leaves it up to the employer, with 40,000. A few weeks ago, I preached the message, "A Step Beyond the Cross," and the resurrection. And that was one angle, but now that we are facing Pentecost, but actually we now need to get there first. We're at the day of Pentecost, but we need something to come first. Because what we had before was all the resurrection appearances, but something has to come before Pentecost. All right? I'm going to show you what I mean. Look at Acts, please, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, the dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya, about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, for these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor and smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Judging from where we were last Sunday to this Sunday, we're not there yet. I mean, seriously, we're not here yet. And what I mean by that is there are some other things that have to come first. Okay? There are some things that have to come first. Let me show you what I'm talking about. They would have to complete the group for one thing. How many disciples did they have as of a week ago, so to speak? Where we left off, Well, Judas had taken this church thing pretty lightly. He was gone and would not be, and would have to be replaced, but not replaced yet. But first, something would have to happen. Turn over, now this is backwards. See, normally we're taking a step forward. We always talk about that, you know, one step forward, one step in front of the other, you know, and so forth, okay? But we want to go back to see where it left off, and that's the only way we can get forward to see where we are now. Okay? You'll see what I'm talking about in a second, if you don't already. This is Acts chapter 1. We'll go back. Verses 15 to 26. Okay? In chapter 2, we hear about Pentecost coming. We hear about the tongues like fire. It talks about the Holy Spirit, and we just read that. But just before that, in verse 15, this is Acts chapter 1, verse 15. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. So here's the mention of how many people were involved in the church at this time. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled. See, this scripture must needs to have been fulfilled. That's what has to come first. Okay? But first, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. A lot of people picture this hanging, by the way, is really an impaling. When it talks about Jesus hanging on the cross, he's impaled on the cross, which is still hanging, you understand. But we think of hanging and we think of a rope around the neck, okay? But this is more likely an impaling, which Jesus clearly was impaled upon the cross, okay? This man, he purchased a field and the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, jumped off a cliff, basically. He burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. He was probably impaled on the hillside. Probably an old fence post, how sharp, might have been splintered off or something. I don't know. But he evidently fell on this post or on this branch. Could even just be a branch or a part of a broken stump. I mean, it could be anything like that. Burst asunder in the midst and all his bowels gushed out. I mean, hanging by rope doesn't usually produce that kind of graphic stuff. So this is, and it also says this was a matter of hanging, falling headlong, burst asunder in the midst. And it was known unto all the dwellers of Jerusalem, insomuch that field is called in the proper tongue Alkadama, which is to say the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric, his office, his leadership position, let another take. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day that he was taken up from us. So from the very beginning, from John baptizing Jesus and so forth, from there to this Jesus being ascended into heaven, this is the time period that they've got to find somebody from in order to appoint him to this position. Okay, verse 23. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and then another fellow by the name of Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these two thou hast chosen. So it's still God's choice, okay? That he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas, by transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place. And they gave forth their lots. They cast lots. Could be a stone with a number on it or a letter on it or whatever. But they cast lots, whatever that might be. And he was numbered with the 11, Matthias. The lot fell to Matthias. Okay? Not this Joseph called Barsabbas. You would have thought maybe this would be the guy with all the detail about his name. And he's also surnamed Justice. And then there was a guy named Matthias. And Matthias got the lots, and therefore he is now the 12th disciple. God wanted 12 disciples, and he had that from the beginning. All 12 followed for 3.5 years, but then Judas fell away. Okay? Well, he had to be replaced. If you're going to have 12, you got to have 12. Okay? That's what it says. In those days, Peter stood up in the midst. We need 12. Okay? So Matthias had joined them. But first, it seems like from where we were first thing this morning, going back, we still have to see what came first. And that's where you're going to find them. You're going to find the things that came first earlier. See how that's the opposite of the way we usually deal with these things, okay? But you'll see why. Something would need to have happened first. Jesus would need to be gone. See, he would need to be gone because before this, he had been there with them. And then finally it came to the place of the ascension. If God the Spirit would come down, okay, first Jesus would need to go up. Let me show you this. Verse 9, same chapter now. Chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. Okay? And when he had thus spoken these things, while they beheld, so Jesus is about to be taken up into heaven, he was taken up, and a cloud received him, lambano, took him, grabbed him, lifted him up, received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went, watching him, watching every, I was going to say step along the way, but he's not stepping, he's just lifting up, okay? Steadfast, they watched him. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing? So here are these angels. Two men stood by them in white apparel, two angels. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So he's got to be out of there before he and the Father can send down the Holy Spirit to dwell within, to be an indwelling Holy Spirit, right? Jesus can't be here. Something had to happen first, and that was the ascension. So Jesus ascends now into heaven. Praise the Lord. And then he's going to come back, they say, in the same way. He goes up, he comes back. All right? Okay. In order for the Father and the Son, the Bible says, to send down the Holy Spirit, and that Holy Spirit is intending to dwell within us and thereby, you know, taking it step by step, but you've got to go when you're where we were at the beginning of today, we've got to go back to where we were last week. So first, we've gone back. The Son has to go up if he's going to be in heaven, and they both send down the Holy Spirit. But first, before that, Jesus would need to send them on their way. Okay? He would have to tell them what they're going to do. You know? They thought maybe they knew what they were going to do, and they went off fishing. And Jesus got after them about that. So that's not what you're supposed to do. What are you supposed to do, guys? Okay? Well, it turns out that the Bible says that Jesus had to give them direction. Yeah. Had to give them direction. had to give him what the Bible calls the Great Commission. Okay? And that will turn all the way back to Matthew 4, Matthew chapter 28. Okay, Matthew chapter. I better pick that up before I lose it. Huh. You know why? Because it's Bible. Amen? Matthew 28. I got to get that glued back in, I think. Matthew 28. And you know where to glue it back in? Where it says. Amen? But first, you got to look and see where it's from. Then you can put it in. Okay? You see what that's all saying? And I didn't even plan that. Matthew 28. Here we go. Matthew 28, beginning with verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away. See, we went before it. We went before and we found out how Matthias got into the group, and now there's 12. But first, so you got to go back again, right? In order to move forward consistently and constantly, you have to pick up where you left off, right? Well, so there's 11 of them back then. Then 11 disciples went away into Galilee, okay, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. I think I've described this before, but I'll say it again. Some doubted. Of the 11, who would doubt that this is Jesus? No, they're not doubting that this is Jesus. I think they're doubting what this all means. I think every one of them's probably got a different idea of what this is going to end up with, where we're going to end up in this whole thing, okay? But some doubted. I not only that, there could be more people up with them, okay? Like the 500 that saw him at one time, could be. Anyway, but some doubted. I have a feeling it's more along the lines that they didn't, you know exactly what this was going to mean in the end. And Jesus, that's why Jesus shows up and gives them direction. Okay? Gives them direction. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All capacity, all competency, all mastery, all potentateism, you know, being the all-powerful king, potentate, okay? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, I was just saying something about this just the other day, that this is one of the places where people say that the Bible's been made up, that this was added years later. This phrase was years later, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now, the reason they say that is they don't want to believe that Jesus, I mean, the people that are liberal and want to disprove him, they don't want to see him as the Son, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They don't want to hear it. So they said that can't, they wrote that in later. I mean, 100 or 2 or 300 years later. Okay? If you want to chop your Bible up that much, you go right ahead. But that's not accurate at all. Okay? The fact is, Jesus said this. If the Bible says he said this, then he said this. Amen? Right? You can't go and make it all up. That's the problem. That's what they're doing today. That's what the liberals are doing. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. guard from loss, guard from injury. Observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. I have charged you. Okay? It comes from a word that actually means to set out for a definite point or goal. A limit. To limit the conclusion. The uttermost. That's what Jesus is. That's what Jesus does. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. You see, I think it should be clear by this time that you can't just start with Pentecost. I don't care if you're on Pentecost Day, you can't just start there. You got to start where you left off. Amen? And we didn't talk about the ascension. We didn't talk about, why? Because we were in the Gospel of John. And John doesn't have a lot of this in him. John's a very peculiar gospel. I didn't say wrong. I said peculiar. And what I mean by that is God had a special purpose for him just to talk about what he talked about. And I think here's why. Because John was written much later. John was written much later. Chances are, probably at least 30, 40 years, maybe more, later. Okay? So he doesn't have to line up with everything else and show you that this happened and then that happened and this happened. You know, did you know that John only has 7 miracles talked about in the whole gospel? 7? When there are lots talked about by the other gospel writers? That's because he had a purpose with John's gospel. In fact, he even said that at the end, remember? There's a reason why you were given what you were given. And there's a reason why you weren't given some other things. Remember we talked about that, right? The world itself could not contain all the books, you know. You just can't start with Pentecost. I think this is crucial to get. We've got to pick it up where we left off and then get there. Praise the Lord. We need to see what comes first. Yes, instead of moving forward step by step, we need to go backward and discover what comes before. Discover what comes first. Thomas Edison finally found it helpful not to try and get what he could get out of the people around him. You know, he wasn't trying to figure, how much can I get by with? How much was this guy going to be willing to pay me? Oh, he had legitimate needs. You have to understand, he went months without a paycheck. You know, then finally this guy says, what do you think I ought to give you? See, there was a test in that, a test of honesty. And praise God, he met that test. But simply allow for the powers that be to see how valuable he really was. Ended up, they gave him $40,000. I mean, look at some of the stuff he did. You know, the light bulb. Do you realize that before the light bulb, when you flicked the switch, nothing happened? Did you like that, Lily? Yeah, nothing happened. Wasn't hooked up. Otherwise, the day would come when his bosses would figure him to be a money-grubbing employee looking for what he can get out of everybody. Okay? Always remember that Jesus belongs to you. If you belong to Jesus Christ, you are not your own. The Bible says that you have been bought and paid for. Bought with a price. The precious blood of Jesus Christ. Let's just say that you invite me to your home for lunch. Let's just say. you clean up the house, you cook a fabulous meal. Are you hearing me? And you put the Bible out on the coffee table, since it's the pastor that's coming. I arrive in a panel truck with a crew of workers, and all of us are in blue jeans. We get out with the paint cans and the brushes, and we paint your house a rainbow of colors. We're talking Punky Brewster here. Okay? Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. Punky Brewster was a show on years ago, and she was all into the deep colors, rainbow this, rainbow that, and so forth. Anyway, Punky Brewster. I also decide, if Cindy were here, she'd laugh. Yeah, because she knew who that was. I also decide a wall or two needs to be knocked out. That's when I come over to your house and have all my paint and everything with me. Your living room furniture needs to be rearranged. And then I ask you for the menu. And when you say we're having spaghetti, I suggest we have pizza instead. Finally, you get up the nerve to say to me, what do you think you're doing? Okay? I only invited you for lunch. You're acting like this is your house and not mine. If you have been to Calvary and you have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, the house that is your body does not belong to you anymore. It is not your house. It is God's house. His Holy Spirit takes up residence in you. An indwelling spirit. That's what Pentecost is all about. He is well within his rights when he says things like, that ego has to go. Or, those words don't really match what you say you believe. Change them. Jesus Christ has paid the price for you, and you are not your own. Do you know what a tire kicker is? And I'll close with this. Huh? Yeah, but do you know that's something that you... a lot of people do when they're out buying something? Oh, do you? Okay. Well, a tire kicker is somebody that's out to buy a car, and they'll show them in the movies and so forth, and the guy walks around the car and kicks the tires. Now, I'm not quite sure what he expected to have happen. Did he think they were so rotted, or that they could be so rotted that... you know, that it maybe will go flat if you kicked them. You know, I'm not quite sure what they're looking for, but it's one of those things. Well, anyway, the pastor that shares this story, he says, I welcome the tire kickers in my church. I welcome them. The passion of my life is to introduce others to Jesus Christ. So when folks who are just looking to come through the doors of the church, I'm thrilled. But not every tire kicker is a serious seeker. Some who say they are looking for God are actually not looking for Him, but for what they hope He will be able to do for them. That's where a lot of people are coming from. And there's a difference. Some are looking for what's called a panacea. Anybody know what panacea means? It means something that fixes what your problem is. Okay? Overall fix. They want some area of their life fixed and wonder if God can do it. That's a panacea. Others are seeking not God, but they're seeking God's power, what He can do for them. They have their own agenda securely in place and would like just a little of God's voltage to power up their plan and put them over the top. Now, these are the folks who usually pass through the church and then they move on. They go away disappointed, believing that God was not interested in them, their pain or their desires, that God just doesn't care. But they're really wrong. God is interested in them, but But he is not a supernatural errand boy. He's not a fixer-upper in the sense that a lot of people are looking to him. God Almighty cares deeply for the lost, yet he has established the immutable conditions in which they can be found, and God can be found, to see it the other way. They are not easy, but they are very, very simple. God will be found by every serious tire kicker, every seeker who confesses his sin, repents of that sin, and receives Jesus Christ into his life. The words God longs to hear are these: Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. These words are like music to God's ears. Amen. True turning back to the Lord. Maybe for the first time, maybe turning back, maybe coming again. It can go either way. Praise God. But first, you can't just talk about Pentecost. First, you can't just talk about making the whole group of disciples. First, you can't just, start out with, Jesus leaving, Jesus ascending into heaven. You gotta start where you left off. And for some people, that's at the very beginning. Okay? Well, praise God that God allows for it to be that way, that we can indeed take a few steps back and go and see what he has to say from the beginning, from the first. Okay? But first, this has to happen. And then, praise God, you'll find yourself at Pentecost itself. And praise God, then there will be a Spirit, a Holy Spirit, who will live within us. An indwelling Holy Spirit. That does what? Well, the way I like to put it, and I think it's true, but I think it's also a good way to put it, is that He wants to be able to put within us that which really recognizes their need for him. Okay? It's not just, well, I need this to fix up that part of my life, or I need something else to do this or that or whatever. No, it's got to be a surrender of the heart, surrender of the life, and a true repentance. Praise God. And I like to put it this way, that It's the power of God to put us in a place where we receive the power of God. We live the power of God. And it's God who gets the glory. Amen? It's not just get Jesus. It's not just he'll fix you. Not some of the stuff that people make the whole thing called Christianity all about. No, it's the power of God to live for God. To put it simply, it's the power of God to live for God. That's the job of an indwelling Spirit. Amen. Glory be to God. Father, we do thank you, dear God, for your truth here today. I think it is important, Lord, that we recognize when it's appropriate to take the next step forward, but it's also very appropriate to take the first step back and see these things and know these things and live these things all the way back to where we were even last week. And then we can see the next step forward, Jesus ascending, and all the rest of it. We thank you, Lord, that we can't just plop ourselves down on Pentecost Sunday when we haven't seen these other things. At least not this time around, because we were in the Gospel of John. We we didn't see all of these things. So, but first, we need to see these things. So I want to thank you for this, dear God, that you are the one that made it possible for this to, for our spirits, Lord, to touch your heart, dear God, and to know your plan for each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord. We praise you. Give you all the glory, dear God, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Praise God. Amen.